This is Radio City Talk.
But it's rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time. A lot of people getting involved with the show so far and a lot of people getting involved with Radio City Talk and their consistent election campaigning. Indeed, election broadcasting over the last number of days, talking about the fact that Theresa May has denied she's refusing to debate Jeremy Corbyn because she is frightened of her weaknesses being exposed in live television. Let's head over now to Jim Watterson from BuzzFeed. He is their political editor. Jim, first of all, I want to say happy election in England to you, if that's a thing. How is that all going for you?
I am exhausted, but it's been quite a bit of fun. I mean, it's been a sort of a chaotic few weeks. I certainly didn't expect this 2 months ago when the election was called. I thought that we'd have, I think in common, most of the polls, a pretty clear sort of Tory win. And instead, we've seen a campaign implode and Jeremy Corbyn win people over. I mean, it's astonishing.
One thing we've learned, obviously, so far is do not flipping believe the polls. Did we not learn that from Brexit? Did we not learn that from Trump?
The one thing that's astonished me is it's 2 months ago, it was generally Jeremy Corbyn supporters who were saying, don't believe the polls are lying. This time around, it's now the Tories who are saying, nah, you don't believe those this time around, do you? Don't be that silly. So what we've got is this amazing split. We've got two sort of quite divergent sets of polls. One is still showing the Tories on track for a majority of around 80 to 100 seats. The other's showing it almost a dead heat, a hung parliament. So trying to work, someone's going to have egg on their face. One of the pollsters is going to have egg on their face come the results next week, and we're going to find out pretty soon who that is. But the one thing that is clear is that the Tories have certainly on some level seemingly cut their lead or thrown this away. Not necessarily catastrophically, but it's certainly narrowed.
Is this down to the fact that Theresa May will not put herself forward to go toe-to-toe and have an open campaign, an open debate with Jeremy Corbyn? She's been given, I think, three opportunities. No, there's another opportunity tonight, yeah. And she won't do it again. Why won't she do this, Jim?
Well, she won't do it because it's a massive risk for her that she doesn't need. I mean, look, outside of a small collection of obsessives, no one normal is really going to get too upset about the fact that she's on that debate. It's going to look quite weird tonight, given that Jeremy Corbyn's there and she's not. But still, it's a few million people who'll see that and a few million will get it. I actually think the smartest thing that Corbyn's team have done is this sort of ambush at the last minute today, just to say, you know, they'd always said they will not do this debate unless Theresa May is also involved. And at the last minute to suddenly say, no, we're cancelling his plans tonight. He's going to Cambridge. He's going to be on it. But the most important thing for Theresa May is to avoid looking like a fool in front of the public. And with seven leaders on that stage, six of them all gunning for her, the odds of someone really landing a blow on her, a verbal blow on her, are pretty high. So from a campaign perspective, actually, it still probably makes sense to avoid putting her up there, because the risks of her, you know, doing some serious damage to herself unnecessarily are still quite high.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Connor Phillips. This is Full Time. I'm joined by Jim Watterson, the political editor for BuzzFeed UK, at Jim Watterson and at BuzzFeed UK, if you want to give them a follow today. How did the Labour leader and indeed the Conservative leader both get on from a polls perspective or indeed a political perspective with the Jeremy Paxson interviews the other evening?
Well, I think the main thing that's happened in the last week is that sort of narrative. The sort of all political journalists tend to herd around the narrative. You try to avoid it, but it happens all the same. And the story of this campaign has been the way that Jeremy Corbyn's sort of relaxed demeanour, his he calls himself Monsieur Zen in an interview he did with us a few weeks ago. He just sort of takes things and he disarmed Paxman perfectly by just sort of smiling and cracking jokes whenever he went in for the kill. And Theresa May, who's much better at sticking to strict message discipline, which is designed so that when you're listening to the news bulletins, you just hear those same few things again. You hear strong and stable, negotiating Brexit, Jeremy Corbyn is a threat, and she will just repeat those until the cows come home. Her sort of style doesn't come across that well, but there's always this terrible, terrible temptation in elections to sort of be carried along with what the obsessors are seeing. Remember that for a lot of people, even a lot of your listeners, people are only just waking up to the fact that there is a vote next week. It's amazing how many people still won't quite realise that they've got to go and vote next Thursday. They'll be aware there's an election on, but they won't have really thought about it yet. So it's all about the final few days, which message cuts through, and it does tend to come down to who do you want to be Prime Minister? That is always the question that when people go to vote, they go to in the end.
One party who I'm sure the leader, Tim Farron, didn't necessarily expect he would be Prime Minister, but he was kind of rubbing his hands when this was announced because many thought that he would pick up the wayward Labour voters or indeed those who are a little bit fed up of UKIP and the Conservatives. But the Lib Dems haven't really picked up the traction that they would have expected or indeed had have liked.
No, absolutely not. I think their entire game plan, which was to do sort of something a bit like what the SNP did in Scotland, where they just went, look, 45% of the country voted for independence, therefore we are the party, the 45%. And they basically picked that all up. The Lib Dems went, well, there's 48% who voted for Remain who are furious. We'll pick all of them up, or at least half of them, and we'll go back to a decent standing and take back some seats. In reality, what seems to have happened is they've been hit by the sort of 25% of the country who voted Remain, but now go, it's over. I don't want another referendum. I don't want another. We lost. It's unfortunate. I felt very strongly about it, but I don't feel strongly enough about it to switch to the Lib Dems. And certainly, I mean, seats in Yorkshire, I mean, there's Southport, where the Lib Dems currently have, where I'd have thought the Tories would be looking to take it. There's North Norfolk, where the Lib Dems currently have, but the Tories will be looking to take it. It's really not that unrealistic to suggest the Lib Dems could actually lose seats in this election.
And just very quickly, if we can just focus on Scotland for a second, I know there's so much happening and changing up there at the moment. Do you suspect things will maintain in Scotland? You may see the odd Tory seat here or there, but the SNPs are still going to clean up there, surely?
That would be my guess at the moment. I think the Tories might take one or two in the lowland sort of border areas. Labour are quietly doing better than expected this campaign. I think the sort of move against Theresa May down south is harming the Scottish Conservatives a bit, but you've seen very, very weird voting patterns up there where you've got people who only care about preserving the union, and the Scottish Conservatives have basically become a single issue party of we are the people who will defend the union, so if you want to do that, then vote for us. So it's the strange things going on up there. I mean, I think this election, we'll look back on it, and we'll look back on the last couple of years, and it will be one of those where the map was really redrawn, where the sort of old boundaries of how people split, or the idea that the rich vote Tory, the home counties vote Tory, and the poorer workers and people like that vote Labour, will go up on its head. And you might see wealthy inner city areas voting Labour and poorer coastal communities going Tory. And, we'll be looking over this as one of those sort of couple of years where everything changed.
And just before you go, I know, Jim, you've so much on today, and it would be very unfair of me to ask you to call the election. But, Jim, life isn't fair. Life is not fair, as we know, as we all get up every day and trudge off to work. I'm going to ask you to call it for me. You can be as undetailed as you like in this, because I understand the next 6 or 7 days are going to be hugely important.
Yeah, I think Theresa May will still be Prime Minister at the end of next week, but Jeremy Corbyn will also be Labour leader for some time after, having done a better than expected campaign.
Oh, lovely. Done in a sentence. Listen, Jim, best wishes with the remainder of the electioneering, or as you call it in your house, no sleep again ever. go and enjoy that. And it's a huge privilege to talk to you today, the political editor.
No, thank you so much.
BuzzFeed UK. Listen, we look forward to talking to you again, and hopefully we'll have you back on. All right.
Yes.
Take care. Thanks, Jim. That is Jim Watterson, the political editor at BuzzFeed UK. You can get on, you can have a little look at what he's saying at Jim Watterson at BuzzFeed UK. Really good article there, actually pinned on his own tweets there. 14 BuzzFeed election stories, all published last week, and they're done in sort of chronological order. So it's an interesting read. And then one thing we've said here and we will continue to say here is, get out, have your voice heard, and make sure you're properly informed. Go and have a read at that, and indeed all the other literature that is available.
This is Radio City Talk.